This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? To God, lover, beloved in love, amen. Again, we hear the words of the followers of Jesus in John chapter 6. This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? I wonder if you have ever thought of Jesus' teaching as difficult. If you are like me, you are always a little proud of the fact that Jesus' teaching is simple. It's all about love, right? It's all about peace. It's all about happiness and so forth. I wonder if you've been taught that Jesus came and overturned the difficult demands of Judaism with all its laws and regulations, and Jesus made them all obsolete so we could just focus on the important things like loving God and loving our neighbor. Have you heard that before? But how about when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, that you've heard it said, do not murder, but I tell you, do not be angry with one another. That's a little more strict than the law, isn't it? How about when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, do not even look on another person with desire in your heart. Yikes, that is more strict. How about when Jesus says, you have heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but I say to you, turn the other cheek to the one who hits you. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, and that's not so simple. How about, you have heard it said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemy and pray for the one who abuses you. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, and that's impossible. And then there's our gospel reading for this morning. Jesus says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will abide in me, and I in them, and that's gross, right? All of this is very tough to swallow for some of us. The truth is, Jesus actually came and made the demands of the law tougher because he made them clearer. He made them tighter because he pointed an arrow right at their heart. It is not necessarily so easy to follow the teachings of Jesus or to understand the way he laid out for us to walk. And while this is frustrating to us, it also makes perfect sense. Because if we were to look at all the problems in this world and consider the mess we are in our relationships with one another, the environment, our political adversaries, our interfaith and inter-Christian relationships, our inadequate response to the suffering and the needs of the world, if we were to look at all the problems in this world, we would also realize that they too are complex. They too are difficult. They're difficult problems that can't be solved with a band-aid or some other quick fix. For example, let's start small. Family relations. Have you ever been in a conflict in your family? Have you ever had someone say or do something that offended you, and have you ever retaliated? Sometimes in family relations, we get to a point where there's no quick fix. No simple apologies will suffice. No amount of flowers will trigger reconciliation. Difficult family relationships require a commitment to a difficult, winding, long, and slow road if we want to find healing. Let's think a bit bigger. How about the neighbor who borrows something and doesn't return it? Who owes you some money, who parties a little too late in the evening. After a while, no quick fix is possible in that relationship. It becomes more and more strained until you either only yell at each other when you see one another, or worse, avoid one another altogether. Difficult neighborly relationships require a commitment to a difficult, winding, long, and slow road if we want to find healing. Let's go bigger. How about debates on national identity and national or religious culpability when it comes to residential schools? Relationships with the indigenous people in this country we call Canada require a commitment to a difficult, winding, long, and slow road if we want to find healing. There are no quick fixes. We, as followers of Jesus, as listeners to his difficult teachings, recognize that there is no quick fix to life's problems. Should I even bring up Afghanistan, Syria, and all the rest? It all seems so overwhelming, with no road to healing even in sight. And it may cause some of us, like the followers of Jesus in the reading this morning, to wonder if it is really worth following Jesus at all. This is a difficult teaching. Is there any hope? Is there? Let's listen again to Jesus. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Those who eat even a little of me, that is, those who take a little of me every chance they get in bread and in wine, those who eat even a little of me will find themselves filled with all of me. I will abide in them and them in me. This is what communion is. Communion is our small step toward the healing of the world by ingesting a little bit of Jesus as often as we can, to take Jesus, his teachings, his life, in as near to our heart as Jesus has taken us near to his heart. To live in God as deeply and as fully as God lives already in each and every one of us. Communion is small bites of God, small morsels of God regularly, as often as we can, so we have the energy to commit to the difficult, winding, long, and slow roads to find healing for our relationships, our neighborhoods, our politics, our world. Small bits of God, regularly in bread and soon wine, God willing, so that our hungry hearts, our thirsty hearts, can move beyond being spiritually hangry. Do you know what being hangry is? It's being so hungry you start to lash out at others. In communion, we avoid becoming spiritually hangry so that we can continue uninterrupted on this difficult, winding, long, and slow road to healing. Small morsels, healing by small step by small step, bite by bite. That's our job as followers of Jesus, and it ain't easy, and it is frustrating, and it seems impossible. None of this is easy. Life is not easy, but what else are we to do? Forget about the suffering of others? Let unchecked desire control our, say, economic systems? Pretend that our decisions don't have an impact on others or on the environment? Should we just shut ourselves behind heavy oaken doors afraid of what's going on outside? No, we won't. We as followers of Jesus will keep on going small step by small step. We will vote even if we think there are no good choices or that our voice doesn't matter. We will stop using plastic straws, even if we think that that small gesture won't help. We will listen to people who are going through impossibly difficult times, even when we don't know what to say or what to do. We will feed someone on Thursday night, though we don't know if that person will have food on Friday. We will sponsor one family from Afghanistan, though we know there are thousands more that need help. These small steps seem so small in the face of the difficult problems overwhelming us. But in these small steps are the hope of the world. In that small bit of bread is the life of God. This world will not be saved by some easy fix, but by a commitment to the difficult, winding, long, step-by-step, slow road. Taming hate, checking desire. This is part of the hope of the world, but these aren't easy. Eucharist, regularly, Eucharist is part of the hope of the world, but it's not easy. It's not easy to bring God as close to our lives as we are to his. It's not easy to love the world with the same love that God loves the world. Jesus' teaching is difficult. It's not easy to keep up with it. It's easier to give up, to stop believing, to shut our hearts. But where else can we go? Where else can we find the words of eternal life? We have come to believe. We have come to know that Jesus is the Holy One of God, come to heal this world and establish in it God's home forever. To God all-loving, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.